Okay, we'll reconvene the Astoria Development Commission meeting. I'm going to turn it back to City Manager Estes.
So with regards to the EPA item, staff is going to do additional work before we come back to answer the question on this item. I want to make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed to be able to answer the questions about this. And so we're requesting that this item be postponed at this point in time.
Okay, and this was to get to find out what the balance is in our
right. I want to be able to give you a hard and fast number with regards to the status of the Astor East Urban Renewal District and any commitments that we have, so that you know, we have all the full information before moving forward. I will note that we are on a tight time frame on this item. It may necessitate a special city council meeting to consider this item, so we avoid additional construction delay costs. I don't want to have a situation where the council is moving into something without the information that they need.
Will you have an answer by the time we meet tomorrow?
Unfortunately not. I'd hoped for that. However, our finance director, Susan Brooks, has to be out of town at another meeting tomorrow morning and won't be able to conduct the analysis before then. So my apologies on that.
Thank you very much. Okay. All right, so we will adjourn the Astoria Development Council meeting then and call to order the Astoria City Council meeting of February 1st, 2016. Chief Ames, could you give us a roll call, please?
Councilor Neville.
Here.
Councilor
Ward. Here.
Councilor Price.
Here.
Councilor Herzig.
Here.
Mayor Lemire.
Here. Reports of councilors. Councilor Ward.
No report.
Oh, Councilor Price.
Let the mayor speak to some of our fabulous awards that were given to the fabulous people, the awards that they got this weekend. I know that she can do that. And just to make it quick, remind you all, I know everybody here shops locally. I see you downtown all the time, but we're sort of in the dark days of winter, and some of our shops, these are the lean times for them. So when you're thinking about Valentine cards or gifts or anything, and tell your friends. I think a lot of people haven't been downtown in a while. I saw some weird comments on Facebook in the past couple of weeks about how there's nothing down there. There is everything down there. Half the time I am in Portland, I try to go shopping, and I think, why would I buy this here when I can get it in downtown Astoria? So please do visit your local businesses even more often here in the dark days of winter and take a friend.
Wow. ADHDA loves you.
Yeah.
It's my ward, my people's.
Okay. Councilor Hersey.
Thank you, Mayor. I attended the meeting, the quarterly meeting of CREST, the Columbia River Estuary Study Task Force. The city of Astoria pays money into CREST on a yearly basis, and we get a certain amount of services for that yearly fee, and we also have a place on their board. So I attended that as a council representative, and the chair, Scott Lee, who's also county commissioner, asked for the mayor to confirm me as the council liaison in my absence. Our community development director, Kevin Cronin, or planning, Nancy Ferber, would be attending, but it was an interesting meeting, and hopefully I'll be able to attend on a regular basis. Most of my other time has been spent with the Astoria Warming Center. We're open tonight. I'll be going there after the council meeting. Last night we were open. We had 22 overnight guests, including one young woman who's 20 months pregnant.
20
so
months
there's
pregnant?
There's a serious, sorry, weeks.
It's,
yeah. I did say it was a young female elephant, did I not? Oh, well.
Sorry,
a little humor. 20 weeks, but whatever. That just it shows that, and she is a local. She's not somebody coming from out of town. So it shows that there's a serious need here, and we're doing what we can to fill up a tiny gap in the services here in Clatsop County. So I'm sorry to make it a little bit facetious. That's my report. Thank you.
Thank you.
None for me tonight. Thank you.
Okay. I have been involved in the Class of Community College Presidential Search Committee. They are now down to four candidates, excellent candidates. I think whichever one is selected will be a real great president and a good addition to our community. I also attended the county manager candidates meet and greet. And so, again, good candidates, and we look forward to their selection of the new county manager. The chamber annual meeting was held last night? Was it last night?
Saturday night.
And, yes, the George Award, for those of you who may not know, the George Award was named for the when you say, let George do it, meaning let somebody else go do it. But we have a lot of folks in this town that don't wait for George to do it. They do it themselves. And the two honorees were Dan Arnoth and Norma Hernandez. And if you've been around town very long, you know both of them have been involved in so many different aspects of our community. So I'm delighted that they were selected. That's my report. Our consent calendar, have we had any changes?
Just one item, a change to the agenda with regards to the presentation. Shirley Krepke could not make it tonight to receive her 25-year service pin as she was ill. So we'll need to get that rescheduled to another meeting. And I know that at least there's some interest in removing items 6, C and D from the agenda with regards to the trestle and track inspection contracts.
Right. Anyone else want to remove anything? Any other item? Okay.
Yes, item 6F, please.
6F.
Yes.
Okay, could we have a motion then to approve item 6A, B, and E.
So moved.
I'll second.
Roll call, Ms. Tucker.
Councilor Nemewill?
Aye.
Councilor Herzig?
Aye.
Councilor Ward?
Aye.
Councilor Price?
Aye.
Mayor LaMere?
Aye. Items 6C and 6D.
So maybe if I can, and I'm going to ask Ken Cook and Jeff Harrington to be able to chime in on this item as we move forward. And I'm going to talk about both items as they are interconnected this evening. And Nathan is in the back. I didn't see Nathan in the back of the room, so I didn't call out his name. So Nathan will be able to chime in as well. Both of these items deal with trolley trestle repair work that is needed along the Astoria waterfront. There, first of all, is need to conduct a detailed analysis of work that needs to be done for the trestle to be able to keep the trolley running in future years. We've had a rail inspector, his name was Andy Cyrus, to do the work over past few years, but he has retired. And after evaluating different options, we contacted a consulting company called OBEC to see whether they could assist with this trestle and track inspection service. This is needed to be able to keep that line open and running as ODOT Rail manages manages. They have jurisdiction over the rail lines, and we have to keep it to a certain standard so that the trolley can continue to run. And we need to have a consultant available to be able to analyze any deficiencies so it won't fail, and we have to unfortunately shut down the trolley. And city staff it feels that OBEC is the best firm to move forward with regards to this work. Our purchasing code allows for a direct appointment of a consultant who is a part of an award, a qualified pool. In this case, they are part of an ODOT qualified pool, and we would be able to make that direct appointment. So some of the reasons why staff is recommending we move forward with OBEC is that they are familiar with our trestles as a result of working with ODOT on prior rail inspections. Another reason is OBEC is the design engineer for our street end project. And so they have direct knowledge of what's happening in the underpinnings of the trestle system. They have also provided cost-effective solutions in terms of how to address deficiencies in prior years. When we needed to do work, they came up with ideas that we could afford to be able to meet design requirement. And lastly, they have experience working on the Willamette Shore trolley, which is a similar trolley as ours within the Portland metro area that connects Portland to Lake Oswego. And so they have worked on projects very similar to ours, dealing with a for-profit company, but one which runs on a shoestring. So OBEC provided a proposal for the comprehensive inspection of the trestles and the track from the trolley barn to 39th Street. And the estimated cost of this work is $37,067. There is money budgeted within the Promote Astoria Fund for this work and also for construction repairs that would be completed. There is another agenda item dealing with an authorization toward a construction contract, and which is the next agenda item. And we received quotes for that work from two bidders, and fortunately, the quotes came under the engineer's estimate, and the low bid was $37,350. Now, if you add these two items up, they come right under the budget amount within the Promote Astoria Fund, which was $75,000. That being said, we do have some additional work that needs to be done for the trolley and trestle repair, and our estimate for work to be completed for the remainder of this fiscal year is $101,717. And so what we're asking for tonight is, first of all, to approve the personal services contract with OBEC for the inspection services in the amount of $37,067, and then also the construction contract with Bergeson for $37,350. The overage that it will cost to complete all this work, we're proposing to take from the Promote Astoria Fund within the budget line item, which is referred to as tourism-related facilities expenditures. I would note that that is a $235,000 budget line item, and the available budget at this point in time is approximately $225,000. Anticipated expenditures known at this time in the amount of $15,000 are anticipated for the remainder of the year. And I would say that's there could be other items that would come up, but that's what we know at this point in time. And it would leave approximately $210,000 for any other items that would come up. Staff is recommending that we move forward with this as the OBEC consulting contract will allow for us to better budget repairs in future years. And this work really needs to be able to be completed so that we can prepare good budget estimates for future fiscal years. So if there's anything else, Nathan, you think that needs to be added to the conversation?
Any questions from the council?
I'm just happy this came up. I was going to call it out. Anytime we spend Promote Astoria funds, I think we need to do it very publicly because there's been some distrust on how we dispose of those, so I'm glad this is being discussed. So this, with the trolley, we understand what a great tourist draw that is and how much historians themselves use the trolley to make sure that it's continued to operate and operating safely, I think is a good use of Promote Astoria funds for sure.
And I'd just like to thank you, Mr. Estes, for the financial analysis that you did of the tourism-related facilities expenditures from the Promote Astoria Fund. I think it's very helpful in making a decision about approval or disapproval of funding. Thank you.
Could we have a motion to approve item 6C?
So moved.
That is the item for personal services contract. Did I vote? Did we vote?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? For item 6D, could we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
This is for the trestle repair. It has been moved and seconded. Authorization to award the construction contract. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And then item 6F.
This is regarding the library passport program. This was a pilot program where if you were a card holder at the local library, you can use that card to check out books at other participating libraries. Here in Astoria, if you've got an Astoria library card, you can go up to the college and use their library. I think it's a great program, and this agenda item says it's from a pilot program. It's been so successful, it's moving into an ongoing program, and I think that's a great asset to our community. And the library has worked very hard on keeping this going. So I just wanted to acknowledge that the passport program will continue, and you can use your Astoria Library card up at the college. So that's a real enhancement. And a congratulations to the library, Jane Tucker, and all for getting this, keeping this going. So I would move that we accept agenda item 6F.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Before we get into the regular agenda items, I'd like to introduce Lauren Williams, who's sitting here in the front row. She's been job shadowing me today. She's gotten an earful of all the things that we do on the council. And so we're delighted to have Lauren here. She's a student out at Tongue Point and studying finance. So maybe she'll talk to Ms. Brooks. Or maybe after tonight, you never want to do that again. But we're delighted to have you here. Okay, regular agenda item. This is revised findings of fact for appeals by Ron Zilli.
So on January 19th, the City Council held the public hearings and closed them for the public testimony portion. And at that meeting, the council voted 3-2 to tentatively deny the three requests and uphold the appeals pending adoption of revised findings of fact. The council decision on each appeal, as was done last time, needs to be considered with separate motions tonight. I would note that I'd like to be able to turn it over to our city attorney, Blair Henningsgaard, who has additional information to provide to council on this matter.
Good evening. My watch just buzzed me and told me that Ted Cruz won the Iowa caucus.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh.
So, a little bit of news. Following the council's tentative decision at our last meeting, I've had several conversations with representatives from Verizon who are, I guess it's fair to say, scrambling now to see how they're going to fill their communication needs in Astoria. And during those conversations, the thought came up that Verizon might have the ability to redesign the facilities that they had planned for in the park, in Shively Park. And the design, they don't know what that would be at this point. The design could include a different size or shape or of the tower. It could have a different location for the tower. But Verizon still believes at this stage that Shively Park presents the best location for that facility. And so what they were asked me to present to the council is the concept of not turning down the application, but remanding the application to the Planning Commission so that they might provide a revised scope of the project to the Planning Commission and kind of go through the whole process again. If that would involve a different location than Shively, if they're going to move it out of the park, then a new application would be required. But as I understand right now the process, if they stay within the general confines of the park, they could maintain the current application in an amended form, probably require all of the machinations that happened with the original application, that is the lease agreement, vacation of roadways, and that sort of thing, review by the historic sites and the planning and the Parks and Recreation Board. But that's what they've called to ask me. They asked me to present to you. Frankly, from my point of view, if the council is favorable to that, the concept of perhaps having a redesigned facility in the park, then this might be a good idea. If the council believes that the park is off limits or can't conceive of a way the park would be involved, then there probably is no point in a remand. But at this point, Verizon's optimistic that they might be able to present something that could work. And so it's presented as an alternative, turning it down as just remanding rather than denial, it'd be a remand. Any questions?
Well, could I ask you the same question I asked you on Saturday?
You may.
Which is this, how is this not our city attorney working for Verizon?
Well, actually, I volunteered to do this, thinking that to have the discussion more open, rather than have a presentation from Verizon, have an opportunity for you to actually ask me questions about the ramifications of that decision and perhaps how it would work. So rather than having it be an adversarial thing, I thought it'd be more open to have me present the concept so that we could kind of work it out in public. Yes.
Mr. Henningsgard, I have a couple of questions. Perhaps you've had discussions with Verizon. As I understand it, their lease at the Column is up in August of this year.
That's true.
If they build only the single tower above Reservoir 3, does that put the South Slope in a shaded area plus the areas at Williamsport and that sort of thing?
Well, assuming that the lease isn't extended in some way to allow them to continue to provide service to the South Slope, as I understand it, if they only had the one tower at the reservoir location, there would be a lack of coverage or a very impaired coverage for the South Slope area of Astoria. I'm not a technician, though, so that's all.
Okay, well, that's what I had heard, and I just wanted to know if you knew.
That's my understanding of it.
Mr. Henningsgard, yes. Is there anything that would prevent either, I mean, is there any reason that you can think of why the city and Verizon would not renew their lease in August for the pole at Shively? I mean, it doesn't have to come, I mean, not Shively, at Coxcomb.
At the Astor Park. That's a council decision. The lease does expire in August, but until the city of Astoria has a new location for their emergency facilities, that tower is going to remain there because we're not going to kick out our emergency communications facilities.
And just from my own perspective, the decision that I made about not having a pole in Shively was because I don't think there should be a pole in Shively. I think that their facility, the totality of the facility is inappropriate for that park. But it's it was not any statement about Verizon about whether they should continue their service here. So I wouldn't want those things to get confused. I would certainly be in favor of renewing the lease on Coxcomb in August.
Well, this does seem unorthodox. I feel uncomfortable even having this conversation after the public hearing has closed. Without the appellant to have an opportunity to speak, without the public hearing being reopened, I can't evaluate a new construction proposal by Verizon at Shively with this proceeding that we have at hand. Is everything okay? Let me know if I'm wrong, but this, given the land use process, we're not really at liberty to look at anything besides the appeal that we have before us right now, correct?
Right, and the question is, what disposition is acceptable to the council, a denial or a remand? And that's the only question. And the reason why the question comes up is because the applicant believes it would be more economical and more beneficial for the city and for Verizon to pursue that channel as another channel. So that's the only reason it comes up at this point.
But we considered a remand and rejected that. And unless we're going to reopen the public hearing, I don't think we can come back and say, oh, we changed our mind. I really think this is not legitimate. Also, I think that the citizens who spoke to us said it was in Shively Park, period. Maybe moving it around a little bit is not changing their viewpoint. And thirdly, the Verizon representative last time told us, no, it has to be that shape and it has to be that location, and suddenly that's changing. And I think that means that Verizon has been bluffing a little bit, and I'm not willing to kind of, I'd like to call their bluff, basically. They're not going to walk away from this market. I think if we stand firm with our denial, they will start to explore other options. They can resubmit an application to the Planning Commission with a new design and new location. But I think we'd be betraying our office and the trust of the citizens if we suddenly decide, oh, we're going to change our decision without reopening a public hearing, but hearing some new information from Verizon through the city attorney. So I'm not comfortable with this at all.
Well, fine. That's the council decision.
Thank you.
So in this case, there were revised findings of fact denying the permits and upholding the appeals. I know that that Councillor Price has some proposed amendments to the draft findings that she'd like to be able to present. She was able to provide those to staff so that we would be prepared to include those changes if the rest of the council would concur. But it would be up to the full council to be able to consider the modifications proposed by Councillor Price or any other councillor this evening.
Right. Well, I would say...
Well, it seems to me we better make a decision on what the attorney has presented first, whether we want a remand or we want to deny it, because yours has to do with denial, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So what is the feeling of the council? Do you want to remand to the Planning Commission, or do we want to go ahead with this denial?
I wouldn't feel comfortable changing to a remand after the public hearing has closed based on new information that has come in without the appellant or public having a say
in
it.
And I know you're opposed, so
yes.
Okay.
Agreed.
I still feel that we should have approved it, and my feelings haven't changed, so I'll vote no on turn down, but that's... I realize that I'm in the minority.
Okay. So we'll go ahead then with the appeal.
Thank you.
And go ahead,
Councilor Price.
Well, you know, it's a problem when you have a professional editor on the council, and I did my usual thing of reading it very carefully and only had an opportunity to do that this morning. And so there is maybe, they're not really amendments, they are revisions that make clear that what we're talking about is not a structure. I mean, it's used kind of interchangeably, facility and structure and tower, but there are many places where I thought that it would be better to make clear that what we were not unhappy with was just the height of a monopole, but the totality of the facility itself, its buildings, its retaining wall, its location directly adjacent to the path, the width of this thing, the service vehicles that would need to be coming up and down the path. So it's the total. There were many other elements. And basically that's what I did, was go through and clarify that, sometimes just changing structure or tower to facility. I did go through all of this with Rosemary earlier, and you thought that most of them were okay. But you might want to address that if the city manager would like her to.
That's fine.
Okay. When I met with Councilor Price, we went over all the various issues. Most of them were clarifications, as she said, of I had used the word facility and structure interchangeably. So that's just a clarification. The 6-foot width of the pole was something that came up at the last meeting and was not mentioned previously. So adding that in just clarifies height plus width of the pole. And in many of the places, what Councilor Price is recommending is to not just say the Shively Park Road, but say also call it a pedestrian pathway, so that it's very clear that it's not just a road, but that it's used by pedestrians. And so those were the major issues in here. And the retaining wall and all of that is just, again, putting it back into the terminology of facility versus structure. And then there was one other thing that you had in here. Let's see here. Excuse me. The fact that the tower was right on the pathway, and that the enclosure with that equipment is additional equipment at the site. And I had that there was no structure, no new structure. And this just clarifies that the equipment and the generator is part of this, and there was structure there that was not reviewed as far as the design, because it was within a fenced enclosure. All we looked at was the fenced enclosure. So nothing that would change content. It was mostly clarification and adding the items in as we mentioned. And I do have revised findings per Councilor Price's recommendations in there.
Thanks for making sense out of what it was a very rambling discussion previously, kind of thing. You've come to. I'm just a little concerned, and this is nitpicking, talking about a pole being 6 feet wide rather than 6 feet in diameter. I think we're talking about diameter here with the trees and poles kind of thing. It's just a difference in language kind of thing, but it doesn't really affect the finding. It's just a different
The
usage.
Width would be the diameter.
Exactly, right. Yes.
Well, I've gotten a chance to read through these revised findings. I thought that you did a good job coming up with new findings, and I don't think there's anything wrong with Councilor Price's revision to your revision, so I would support that, and I'd like to move forward if others do.
I'm ready. Public hearing's closed. Sorry.
But thanks for being here.
Yeah, who knew?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, it does say the public hearing on this issue was closed on January 19th, 2015, and the issue continued to February 1st, 2015, in order to consider the revised findings of fact to approve the appeal. So the public hearing was closed. Okay, so we have three motions then, so I want to know how you vote on this. I mean, we've switched things around now, so if you are for these findings, you vote aye. If you're against these findings, you vote nay.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Because the findings are for denial. Right. That's how they were prepared. And so the if you agree, if the council agrees with the revised document as Planner Johnson had outlined, then you would vote yay. If you would, yes. If you do not agree with the revised findings, you would vote nay.
Okay.
So a yes vote on these is a yes to deny Verizon's appeal. That's just to make that clear.
To deny the Verizon's permit and to uphold the appeal.
Okay. I just want everyone to know that I am going to vote no on this, on all three, because I don't know where else we'll put that pole. The other option is to double the size of the pole up on up at the column, and I don't want to do that. So I will be voting no, and it's not because I don't agree that it would be wonderful if we could keep Shively Park completely open, but there may be no other practical or a way to give our citizens their cell phone service. So just to explain my vote. All right.
So should we take these in numerical order?
Yeah. Motion number one, AP 1501, new construction permit, NC 15-03 for Verizon Wireless. Yes.
I move that the Astoria City Council adopt the findings and conclusions contained in the staff report and deny the new construction request NC 15-03.
Second.
With the addition of Councilor Price's proposed revisions.
Do we have to say that?
And just to clarify, Ms. Johnson, could you verify the case file number on that very quickly?
AP 15-01 for new construction 15-03.
Right. So it's
okay. All right. So we're voting on an appeal for a request.
Right. So all it's right. Appeal 15-1 for new construction 15-03.
Okay. And do I need to include the revised language?
Yes.
Okay. I move that the Astoria City Council adopt the findings and conclusions contained in the staff report in the appeal AP 15-01 and deny the new as revised by Councillor Price with Rosemary Johnson's assistance, and deny the new construction request NC 15-03.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Nay. Okay. The City Council's ruling may be appealed by any person with standing by filing a notice of intent to appeal with the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals, LUBA, within 21 days after the City Council has made its decision. If an appeal is not filed with LUBA within the 21-day period, the decision of the City Council shall be final.
So the next item is Appeal 15-02 of Variance 15-03.
I move that the Astoria City Council adopt the findings and conclusions as revised by Councillor Price, supervised by Rosemary Johnson, in the Appeal AP 15-02 contained in the staff report, and deny Variance V 15-03.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
The City Council's ruling may be appealed by any person with standing by filing a notice of intent to appeal with the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals, LUBA, within 21 days after the City Council has made its decision.
If an appeal is not filed with LUBA within the 21-day period, the decision of the City Council shall be final.
So then the last item is appeal of AP 15-03 of wireless communications facility permit, WCF 15-03.
I move that the Astoria City Council support appeal AP 15-03, adopt the findings and conclusions contained in the staff report as revised by Councillor Price, supervised by Rosemary Johnson, and deny the wireless communications facility request, WCF 15-03.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
This may sound kind of familiar. The City Council's ruling may be appealed by any person withstanding by filing a notice of intent to appeal with the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals, LUBA, within 21 days after the City Council has made its decision. If an appeal is not filed with LUBA within the 21-day period, the decision of the City Council shall be final.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Okay. The next item is an ordinance regarding a local option tax of marijuana retailers.
So I'm going to ask our police chief and assistant city manager, Brad Johnson, to come forward. But while he's moving this way, under House Bill 3400, cities may impose up to a 3% tax on the sales of marijuana items made those with recreational retail licenses. Now, this tax must be imposed by referring an ordinance to the voters at a statewide general election. This means an election in November of an even number year. I would note there is no provision for taxing medical marijuana sales. So to refer this item to the voters, the City Council would need to hold a first reading and then a second reading of the ordinance at separate meetings, and then adopt the ordinance by roll call. After, and if the council were wanting to move forward with that, after adopting the ordinance, the council would adopt a resolution which would set the ballot title. The ballot title would then be published in a newspaper of general circulation in the city, being the Daily Astorian in our case. And after a period of review, if no objection to the ballot title would be filed, the matter would be filed with the county elections official. So I'm going to have Brad provide a little bit more information with regards to this proposal for consideration, and then have the council discuss further.
So kind of the impetus of this was after attending last year's Chiefs Conference and then also the League of Oregon Cities, we heard pretty consistently from folks at the state level that cities were going to be very lucky to see any money trickle down from that 17% retail tax that the state is imposing on recreational marijuana. And all of those dollars would be earmarked strictly for enforcing the provisions of ballot measure 91. So little money, very earmarked. And we started talking internally about the possibility of the local option tax that the legislature enabled us to refer to the voters. But when I started talking to people about that, there were three questions that were pretty obvious. The first was, would imposing a tax and increasing the cost drive people to the black or gray market for marijuana? And the second was, what kind of revenue would we be talking about? And the third was, what would we use it for? Those three questions were a pretty common theme. So I didn't know those answers. So I did what everybody should do, I guess, and went on a junket to find out information. And I went to visit the four businesses in our town that are currently medical marijuana dispensaries that have opted into the recreational sales that began in October under ballot measure. Actually, I guess that's under the House bill, not under the ballot measure. So I found them very receptive to my visit. I found three of the four of them were very supportive of the concept of the local tax. The one that was probably the most restrictive said we would not, or the most supportive said we would be fools not to go after the tax, and he's expected that we would. He has encouraged this from our first conversation, when he first opened as a retailer locally. He came to me and saw me and has been pretty upfront as a business owner about what he's doing and that kind of thing. Very interesting process going and talking to these folks about their marijuana business. If you'd have told me 10 years ago that as chief of police, I'd be walking into a marijuana shop and asking them about their business and they'd be telling me all about it, I'd have told you you were crazy. But
were you in uniform or in a suit?
I think a shirt and tie. I did it over a couple of days. I think it was always in shirt and tie. But I did get some funny looks as I walked in and out, people seeing me coming out. And trust me, it's research. So anyway, I did find that most of them were very supportive. There was one retailer that did not understand the taxing scheme, and they were not initially supportive. I had to explain to them how the business works, that, you know, yes, right now you're paying a 25% tax, and that's on those opt-in sales. That tax sunsets December 31st and will be replaced by the 17% tax that the state imposes, but only if you've converted over to a recreational business, not if you're still a medical business. And so that you'd, even with a 3% increase, you'd actually have a 5% drop in your tax rate. It kind of sounds like a flim-flam man playing with his cards, but that's the way it works. And after explaining to that to him, he was also supportive. I asked them about this question of, you know, do you think that increasing the tax is going to drive people to this black or gray market? All of them were very... They did not believe that would happen. All of them believe that they're, you know, it's not like, you know, walking up to your guy in the corner that's sitting on his couch or wherever you happen to find this guy that's selling you your marijuana that has a kind of marijuana for you to buy. This is more like going to a good tap room that has 25 different varieties of beer or a cigar bar that has, you know, 10 or 15 different styles of cigars for you to buy. It is a completely different experience than what the black market is. And all of these vendors believe that that is what they're offering. The legitimacy, the selection, the fact they know what the THC content is of all of their flowers. You don't have to guess. And the fact they're offering a service to these folks. So none of them believe that was going to be the case. And then the other thing I did was looked at other states and what they're seeing for tax rates. Up until July, Washington's effective tax rate on marijuana was 47%. Just staggering when I saw that. It is less than that now. They've lowered it to, I'm going to get it wrong, I think it's 27%. It's high 20s, low 30s anyway. So it's dramatically lowered. Colorado has both an excise tax and a sales tax on marijuana, plus the sales tax that they have on general items. So Oregon, even at the 25%, that's the highest we will ever see, is lower than both of those states. You know, the second question was how much? So I was kind of surprised again. These folks were very open. Surprised two ways. One is they were very open. And one is at the dollar amount that these businesses are seeing in business. They are doing some significant sales in just flower product, which is all that's available to the recreational buyer right now. They expect those sales to go up once they're able to sell extracts and other things. That those are a much higher retail price and a much more popular product, they tell me. Where else was I going to go with this? So total, right now, using the sales that they have, they're estimating about 100,000. Well, I estimate 3% of their sales annually would be about $100,000 that the city should see in that 3% sales tax. The additional thing there that is a kind of a wild card is three of the four businesses very much plan on marketing to our tourism industry. They plan on marketing to the ships that dock here, the cruise ships. They plan on, they're talking about bud and breakfasts. They're talking about, you know, the possibility, even OLCC is talking about something like a coffee shop, because the one place that's a weakness in the law right now is the lack of public places to use marijuana. So there's some belief that there'll be some of that. You'll see the nightclub business or the coffee shop kind of a model or something out there. So a very untapped business. They plan on expanding, and who knows what that retail sales will look like. It's still a kind of a burgeoning business. And then the last thing is, what are we going to do with that money? And that's a question for you, not for me. That is a question for the budget committee, for the council to adopt that. I have a strong opinion on where that money might go. And there are a couple things we know about it. One is that it is something that is a renewable source or a continuing source. So it would be something that would be appropriate to use for things like salary, as opposed to, you know, like the carbon credits that we got that are a one-time thing that would not be appropriate to use for salary because it's not a sustainable funding source. So that's kind of one of those things that you will have to take into account as you start making policy on what you're going to do with this. All I can tell you is about what it will be and what the support is for it. Some interesting comments. We put a link to the Daily Astorian article on our Facebook page this week. Some interesting comments that kind of show where the local knowledge or the knowledge on this thing is. You know, people saying, well, if we're going to tax marijuana, we should tax alcohol and cigarettes. Yeah, and we do. So some of those things that are out there, that there is certainly work to be done in doing that. Staff will not be advocating for this. We're not allowed to. We'll just present the facts. And with that, I'd take your questions.
I have, one comment, and then it involves the wording. I've had some calls about this. This is not a tax on medical marijuana and will not be a tax on medical marijuana, but the language of the ordinance just says the sale of marijuana items by a marijuana retailer, so we might want to...
The statute actually defines, the state statute, what a marijuana retailer is. The marijuana retailer is only the recreational retailer and would not actually include medicinal. There's no provision in Oregon law to allow the taxation on medical marijuana, completely separate.
All right, so the language is clear as far as
the language actually matches state statute.
Fantastic. Then forgive my ignorance, but is it still a cash only? We're still dealing with that. Can you put money into a bank that you get from marijuana sales? And if it is cash only, how are we going to tax?
The FDIC actually regulates this issue, and I happen to know something about this because I know a banker. And she shares with me every once in a while some of the industry information out there, and it is still very difficult. There have been a couple people that have tried to do it. MBank was one of them. There's a credit union that's trying again. The amount of due diligence that those businesses have to do to actually maintain their FDIC insurance is significant. So it's still a cash business.
Brad, and kind of a follow-up to Councilor Herzig's question, in terms of the reporting, if it is a cash business, how does the reporting work with OLCC for their current tax, and how is that verified?
My understanding is that is still being worked out. OLCC has some regulatory authority on how those things are reported. That business is going to be pretty well regulated. This is one of the other kind of those things that, you know, this is going to cause for us as law enforcement is OLCC is only going to go after things that involve businesses who have applied for a license. If there's a commercial operation that's never been licensed, it is not an OLCC problem. It is a local law enforcement problem. Mark Warren, who was here in front of you a couple of weeks ago, will be our inspector for both marijuana and alcohol, and he will also have Columbia and Tillamook County. So you can kind of see how much compliance checking there's going to be on the state level. A lot of that will fall to local law enforcement.
So, Councilor Herzog, I kind of threw that to Chief Johnston to be able to get his answer. One of the things that is happening right now is OLCC, as you may know, is developing the rules for marijuana retailers presently. There's this kind of interim period we're working under right now, and then it's anticipated by the end of 2016, full sets of rules will be put in place by the state of Oregon to be implemented.
Well,
Well, and hopefully by sometime in 2017, the country will have come to its senses and legalized marijuana, so we won't have these crazy hoops to jump through and wires to crawl under, but we'll see about that.
I have a question about, you mentioned that three of the medical mm-hmm. marijuana were changing to recreational. Are they?
Right.
Can those two exist together? I mean, can you do both in one store, or are they, you either have to be medical or you have to be recreational?
Currently, the law says that you have to be one or the other. The opt-in period is kind of this weird period where the medical can sell recreationally flowers. However, once licensed as a recreational facility, they will choose a date, and from that date forward, they will only be a recreational. So you cannot, under the current rules, do both. Two of the four existing retailers said they'd like to see that change, and they're talking to OLCC about the possibility of whether in the short session this year there might be that ability to change that. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. The fourth place that's not planning on going recreational is actually going to open a separate business that will only be recreational. So they'll leave their remaining business as a medical facility, and then they'll open a new one as recreational.
Can I ask that question just because I'm concerned that, I mean, we started this whole thing by saying, by hearing from people who really, really needed medical marijuana, and hopefully all those services don't close and we have nothing left but recreational.
So the interesting thing is that the product's the same, with the exception of dosages. So the recreational dosages are lower. I'm sorry, this is like kind of weird. I know way too much about the marijuana business now. The medical limits for dosages are much higher. The parts per threshold is much higher for medical than it is for recreational, and that's intentional to try to prevent abuse. So that will be kind of a pinch place for the medicinal user, but the bottom line is the tax-free and those dosages are the only two places that you'll see a difference between medicinal and recreational, will be my guess.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chief, and I would support this tax. And certainly support putting on the ballot and see what Astorians think about it. I had one little editorial comment, as I usually do, which I wrote you all
right
about earlier, which is that all of the documentation that comes with it, the ballot title, the ordinance, and all that says on the sale of marijuana items by a marijuana retailer. And in my mind, I thought, well, that means one A is one.
Right.
So should that language be any or each or every or?
This is a form of ordinance that's drafted by the League of Oregon City's attorneys. It's your ordinance, so you can say whatever you want to say. There's no magic language just because it's drafted.
And Chief, you looked up some other ordinances?
Yeah, I looked at our transient room tax and the fuel tax. Both of them, I wrote you back, and I think both of them were singular, although I think one of them might have been plural.
Transient taxes on each transient.
Right.
And fuel on every dealer. So
that's
that
right.
Would be much more inclusive than A in my professional opinion. Whatever that means.
I have to confess that I stole this off the League of Oregon City's website. I did not write this. So if you feel like amending it, I am not going to have my feelings hurt.
Well, I don't think the tax would hurt these marijuana businesses, and we could do some real good things in our community with the money.
I have a question, not about the ordinance itself, but about putting it on the ballot. This has come up last year when we were talking about other possible ballot measures about the cost, and I talked to Susan Brooks earlier, and she's not familiar with that. I've talked to Cheryl Holcomb at the county before, and it's sort of it's a moving target. So I would like to find out, I would like to ask the city manager to direct staff to find out how much a ballot measure would cost the city, and if there is money to be saved in putting more than one measure on the ballot at a time. We've discussed a ballot measure concerning fluoride in the water. I've also had expressed an interest in certain city charter amendments kind of thing. So if that would be possible, I think that would be very useful information.
We can get that information and have it for you at the next meeting.
Great. Thank you.
So is there action to take tonight?
Yes, we need a motion for a first reading.
Madam Mayor, will there be an opportunity for public testimony on this? I just wondered if there is anybody here tonight who might have something to say.
Thank you.
I see a head nodding.
Is there anyone here who would like to speak to this item? Okay. Thank you for that. Okay, could we have a motion in favor of a first reading?
I move that the council consider holding a first reading of the proposed ordinance to refer a 3% local option tax to the November 8th, 2016 ballot.
Second.
Ms. Cosby, roll call.
Councilor
Amboa? Aye.
Councilor
Herzig? Aye.
Councilor Price?
Aye.
Councilor Ward?
Aye.
Mayor Lemire?
Aye. Could we have someone read the title of the ordinance? Let's see. Mr. Cronin.
An ordinance to the city of Astoria, 3% tax on the sale of marijuana items by a marijuana retailer and referring ordinance.
Okay, thank you. We're not going to do that one. Okay. If anyone in the audience has any item to talk about at this time, please come up to the microphone, state your name and address, please. Okay.
Oh, well, thanks for being here.
Thank you for coming. This meeting is adjourned.
Wow, it's only 8:17.
That's amazing.
Yeah.